Ask the Lord to grant unto us the spirit of prayerful meditation upon the Word of God. I will draw your attention to the first chapter of Genesis, verse 26. Verse 26, chapter 1 of the book of Genesis. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. You will see, my dear friend, that in this chapter 1 that I have read to you this morning, we have an encyclopedia of the whole scripture of truth. From Genesis to Revelations, this first chapter sets forth the mind, the will, and the purpose of Jehovah. Chapter 1 is a wonderful prophetic chapter because it deals with the time state allotted unto man. For we read, time shall be no more. And that will come to pass when all things here below perish. And time will be no more. I think it's very profitable to look at ourselves as individual personalities. Namely, what are we living for? What's our object in living? And how long shall we live? And then the all-important question, namely, the hereafter. It's a big concern with me, friends, and I doubt not with you also, that when you come to the end of life journey, you'll have the approbation of God upon that life you have lived. You sought to honour him and serve him. And by so doing, you have obeyed his precepts. Now in this verse 26 we read, and God said, let us make man in our image. Note that little word, us. What does that refer to? The Trinity of Persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are included in that one word, us. Let us make man in our image. So here we see how God, after creating the living creatures after their kind, so forth, then the time came for the all-important work, the creation of man. ask ourselves a question here. What is man? The answer is very simple. Man lives in the image of his creator. That's the answer. And where that image is followed and sought after, then God's image in you will bear a resemblance as to who you are, whom you serve, and your future estate. Therefore, man, although a fallen creature, yet what do we see in the creation of God? Why, the very image of God himself. Do we not read, "Let us make man in our image"? Therefore, man does bear an image of his creator. But does he walk it out? Do they live according to that image? Yes. If that one possessed the fear of the Lord, seeks to honor the Lord in his services, to obey the Lord, his commandments, live unto the Lord, the leading of his Holy Spirit, then that man is regenerated. He's sanctified, set apart by God alone, and becomes a devout worshipper unto him who has given him life and breath, strength and health, and the many blessings that follow the natural life of man. But we look around us today, millions and millions of the human race live without God, without hope in the world. I sometimes come into conversation with them, and I've been surprised and amazed at their ignorance as to where they came from, or why they possess life in their hearts. What are you going to prove? The appalling ignorance of man. He knows not his Creator, much less the Saviour of sinners. Now, my friends, I put this truth to yourselves this morning. What are you living for? What's your main objective day by day? Well, you might say it's all difficult to describe. I want to live a good life. I do want to feel that while I live, I seek to honor and serve my God. That's a good mark, in the right direction too. And therefore there's a very great distinction between a man that seeks to serve the Lord and one that gratifies his fallen nature. Now, my dear friends, how is your life lived? Well, you say, sometimes I'm not what I ought to be. Well, who is? Who is? We all come short. None that doeth good, no, not one. And therefore this first chapter of Genesis deals with the creation of the human race. That from one man, what a multitude followed. And that one man made in the image of his creator. Friend, that's a very wonderful truth. To bear the image of God, of the Godhead. To have in your soul the inward life of the Spirit, whereby through that sanctifying power wrought by the Holy Spirit, you live to love and to serve Him while you are still in the body. Friends, that's a very happy life. And a very contented life too. Why? Because your objective is to serve the Lord. That comes first and foremost in your daily concerns. Am I doing as I ought? Do I live in His fear? Have I loving my heart toward Him? Have I the inward witness and testimony of the Holy Spirit, whereby I render a service that does not come from nature, but through the grace of God in the inward part? Friends, when a man is born of the Holy Spirit, the transformation scene, because that one is translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. They know they are not their own, but they are serving another, even the one who is their creator. And God said, let us make man in our image. What do we see here, friend, in this subject? Why, we see the wisdom of the Godhead. That He who created this world by His own almighty power created man in His image, in His likeness, to bear a resemblance to the one who has given Him life divine as well as natural life. So if we come to consider ourselves individually, where there is divine life in the soul, that one lives in the ascendancy of grace. That one lives to love and to serve the Lord, to obey His command, to walk out His precepts, to live a life of faith and of prayer. So we have it now subject here, and God said, let us make man in our image. Notice that word image, my friend. Before man was created, thou wast in the image of our Creator, that likeness that we should bear unto him. Man, though fallen in his nature, is saved by grace through God's grace. And all who live to love and serve the Lord will live in fear, holy fear. They will live concerned in the life, concerned the life that they live. Oh, my friend, when I believe you go to prayer, will it be in the night season before you retire, or in the daytime? Why do you pray? Or do you pray? Do you pray? Ah, say you, I must be confessing here, I'm sometimes remiss in serving the Lord. Too many eyes in the pot, as it were. Can't manage it all. Oh, that's a poor excuse. A very lame argument is that. God is our Savior, is born of the Spirit. And being our Savior, he demands our attention. He demands what we can give to him. And what is that? A service acceptable to his obedience to the word. The light that lived, that secret, and that life opens up the hearts of those who are born of God. You can see that in the manner of conversation, and again as to what they are living for. There's a major objective in the life that they live. What is that? Pure and simple, to serve the Lord in spirit and in truth. Heart service is a God-given grace. And the life of God in the soul proceeds therefrom. So we read, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Here, before man was made, God planned the creation of man. What a wonderful work we see in the Godhead of our Savior. We read, do we not? In him we live, move, and have our being. When that's walked out, it's walked out by faith. Walked out in love and filial fear. It walked out with an object in view. What is that? To be obedient to the command that God has given to you, to walk by faith, not by sight. To live completely dependent upon the Lord. His service unto you, the life that you now live. But where there's a neglect in those duties that we should consider and walk out, then we grow careless and indifferent to our service unto the Lord. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Here we see how the Lord prepared the image of man, taken from no animal, no human being but one, Christ, the image of his heavenly Father. And the Lord will bear that image in that new nature that God gives unto them, namely, the grace of God in the heart is a wonderful virtue because your life conforms to it. You walk it out by faith. You are living in the Master's service. And by so doing, you receive of his favors and of his blessings. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. And then we read the order as to what man has to do. What is it? Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth. Then what do you see in those few words, my friends? What, that man is far above and beyond the brute creation. That's a truth we learned there, my friends. You see, the brute creation has no soul. Oh. And when a man dies, soulless, he perishes in his sins. But my dear friend, when we are brought to see, through the mercy of God, the bestowing of his grace upon the inward part, then surely how changed will our attitude be toward our Creator. Doubt it will be this: to love him, to serve him, to walk in his fear, to obey his precepts, and fulfill his commands. And that's a duty that's expected of us all, my friends. In other words, to live in the fear of the Lord and eschew evil. You see those around you, well, you might say, I couldn't do what they do. Why? Why can't you? Why, the check put upon your life. You cannot live as others live. Your life comes under the sanctifying influence of the Holy Spirit. And therefore that life will be conformed to it. It's lived out. The one who has given up to give it unto you. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. Yes, they have certain dominion and power. Man can do many things, and therefore really what they can do. They have dominion over the fish of the sea. Need to say, if you want to catch fish, you can do so. God's order. And then again we read, and over the fowl of the air. My friend, have you sometime looked up into the sky in the morning about 9 or 10 o'clock and see flocks of birds all going in one direction? Where have they come from? From a foreign country. They've come back to where they were before. A I settled down during the summer months. Oh, I've seen flocks and flocks just this last week. That's over at our house. And I've admired them. They're all going one direction. There's a purpose in their flying. And where their fly will lead them to. You see, friends, the bird of the air doesn't live in ignorance. His creator has a power over the birds of the air and the fish of the sea. And so we read in our subject, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. I'll tell you just a little story, my friends, a very true one, I never got it. But when I was in Egypt, and it was a very warm afternoon, I thought I'd go and have a swim in the sea. Well, I went out, right out quite a long way, good quarter of a mile, I should say. And all of a sudden, I heard a lot of shouting from the shore. Stop where you are! Don't move! Oh, where did that come from? I looked around me. No fingers pointing at me. Well, what did I do? Well, I got on a rock not far away, and I sat there. They say, stop there until we tell you to move. Well, I was there all the afternoon. I couldn't get off that rock. Why? Why? There was a shark circling that rock. Waiting for me to jump off. But I didn't. And so for all the afternoon, I was held captive by a shark. And then toward the evening, the shark made for the open sea. And then I secured my release in swimming ashore. I never got that, my friends. And therefore do not we see that the life of man is very dependent upon the Lord. And some, through their foolishness, forfeit their lives by sheer bravado, and they perish in their sins. So we read, do we not? After our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle. You take the case for a moment or two of Jonah. That poor man was swallowed up by a whale, wasn't he? Couldn't get out. There he was in the whale's belly. What do we see there, my friend? How helpless, how powerless he was to deliver himself. But what the Lord do for his deliverance? Brought that whale to the seashore and vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Yes, God had power over the brute creation. And sometimes they're very powerful. And they have overcome even man and destroyed him. Yet what do we see? That God, when he created man, in his own image, after his own likeness, there's a great distinction. It's man and beast. Man has a soul. A beast has no soul. That's where it lies, my friend. You have a soul. I have a soul. And we read, the soul that sinned, it shall die. we are responsible unto God. The life that we live, if that life is lived by faith in God, you will be directed by His Spirit. Because you'll walk by faith and not by sight. You have a service unto the Lord, your Creator. And that service should be obeyed and walked out. And therefore all who are truly born of the Holy Spirit are not their own. They are bought with a price. And therefore, my dear friends, we see the great value and distinction between the brute creation and man who was made after the image of Christ Himself. Look at that. Made after Christ. He bears the image of His Savior. In what way? Why, in the life of that He lives by faith. A child of God with a devout believer in the Lord Jesus Christ lives in a service that is unto the Lord. And therefore that service that is lived by faith, hope, and the fear of God in the inward part. So, my dear friend, what a vast distinction there is between the brute creation and fallen man. Oh yes, he fell from his first estate, sinned against His Creator, and yet what a mercy. And a Savior to redeem, to save to the uttermost all that come unto God through Him. So, my dearest friends, you come to compare the great distinction that exists between man and the brute creation. Or the bird upon the wing, there you'll see man stands out as a major handiwork of God. Oh, he does. The chief of all God's works was in the creation of man. And where that man lives to serve the Lord, it possesses a God-given faith and lives to worship, lives to pray, to honor the Lord whom he desires to serve. Here we see the great distinction between the godly man and the ungodly. They have no concern at all. A child of God, anxious that he might live in the fear of the Lord, to honor and serve Him in their day and generation. And where God is honored, God will bless that honor. He will sanctify that honor. And that one lives in the service of his Lord and Master, obedient unto the heavenly calling. I leave my few remarks here for the present.
Let us close by singing hymn 198. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see.
By the grace, mercy, and truth of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour, the love of our Heavenly Father, the communion and fellowship of the Holy Ghost, abide with us now and evermore. Amen.